Because of the hour, we are going to not have songs, opening, closing, nothing like that. We're just moving on. So I'm the speaker, so I'm going to speak. And I have a full sermon. My son says, you could preach for an hour on four scriptures. And I said, well, we're good. Then I only got eight. But we're going to have a Reader's Digest version of tonight's lesson. How would that be? And we're going to start this way. First of all, I'd like to say that I like object lessons. And we've just had an object lesson for any of us that watch these young men from the time they were little tiny kids to today. That's about as real life object lesson as you can get. The Lord is good. He is good. And He calls us always up higher. He's always calling each one of us, whether it's a wife or a mother, a sister or a brother. He's calling us higher. He's calling us to a greater service. He's calling us to a more righteous walk before Him. I have at the top of my paper here, what is righteousness? What is personal righteousness? And I was going to ask that question to you, and it's a question. I'd like to have an answer. Anybody got an idea? Probably means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Can somebody give me a definition of the word righteousness? Right living, living right. That's what I've always been told. And so when it comes to personal righteousness, that's something we got to look at ourselves as. I said I had an object lesson. You know, this is a piece of wood. I bet you figured that out on your own. It's a piece of wood. It's not a piece of lumber. It's never been sawed into a piece of lumber. It's off of a tree that was near my dad's house, and it's very pretty on the inside from what you can see of it. It smells really nice. It's red cedar. Some people call it shaggy bark. Has a beautiful heartwood in it. But to most people passing by on the street or into my dad's driveway there, it's just a piece of ugly old tree. And I think you can probably figure out the object lesson. This is how we come. This is who we are. And when we begin to submit ourselves to the Lord, He can do something with us. He can mold us. Sometimes it takes a lot of time. And as I came up here and talked to these three young men, I thought that with Aaron. Well, really with each one of them, but with Aaron, there's a lot of us that feel like this has been a long time coming. But at the same time, the Lord knows how to mold us, how to shape us, how to make us into something that's usable for Him. That's a candlestick, in case you didn't know. So is that. Both of those started out looking like that. Our brother Adam has gotten into woodworking in his older years, and the last few years. And I seized the opportunity to take some of the junk out of my shop and put in his. And some old tools I had and some wood I had, and he showed me those last night and said, remember that piece of wood you gave me? There it is. Beautiful. Beautiful red and dark and grain, especially for those of us that love wood. It's been molded by the craftsman's hand into something's usable and there's some things that's attractive to the eye. Here we are. The object lesson is, are you willing? Are you willing to allow the Lord to turn you from just another old piece of wood into something that's usable? I do want to have a scripture or two here. Which one is the question? Let's start in John, the 15th chapter. St. John, the 15th chapter. Nathan, this is where you have to worry. We started down this path, we could be here a while. I always like picking on Nathan. St. John chapter 15, verse 1. This is the Lord Himself speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken off, taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit is purged it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I abide in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abideth in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Without me ye can do nothing. This is the Lord speaking. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withereth, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my word abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Words that the Lord has given us that bring us from this point to this point. Words that He's given us that over the course of our lifetime sometimes bring us to an individual. We become an individual that He can use, that brings forth much fruit. But my whole sermon tonight, and no matter how many words I say or don't say, is this. It's up to you. It's your choice. These brothers that were up here tonight, they had to make a choice. Each one of you that are here tonight, you chose to come. You chose how you live. You choose what you watch on the TV. You choose what comes out of your mouth. You choose who you are. It's a choice. We must choose to abide in the vine. Because as Christ said, without Him, you can do nothing. At best, we are just weak individuals. But with Him, we can accomplish whatever His plan for us in life is. We can accomplish the goal. We can reach the mark. You know, I was talking to Adam about turning these down. He has a lathe, obviously. And for people who love wood, like myself, and so if you don't love wood, please forgive me. If you think wood's just to burn in the fireplace, I mean, it's okay. I look at a dirty old pallet on the ground and I think, oh, that's a nice piece of oak. And I can take that and I can run it through a mill and sand it down and make something beautiful out of it. Because it's hiding. The beauty's hiding inside. This beauty, especially that, is just so pretty, is hiding inside of there, you know. And as I was talking to Adam about it, something I love about working with wood is as he mills this down, no man's ever looked on that. No human eye had ever seen that, had beheld the beauty that was within there until he milled it down to that point and sanded it off and said, whoa, that looks really nice. And I find it the same with us. Oftentimes you have some crusty, craggy old guy like my dad, you know, that for those of you who knew my dad, that's not, I'm not being mean to him, it's just the way he is or was. he's gone now. But once you got past, you got some of that carved off. There's a pretty decent old guy in there, you know, that knew a lot and shared a lot. And I'm sure we all know somebody like that. We can be somebody like that. So don't judge a stick by its bark, you know. Don't judge an individual that, oh, well, the Lord could never use them to do anything. Yes, He can. No different than use you or I, if we're willing. The key to that is if we're willing. And, you know, we don't know. We don't know what wonderful things the Lord can do with us until we give Him the opportunity. Now, I bet if you ask this stick, though, this piece of wood, if it was pleasant, for if it could talk, obviously, but if it was pleasant for Adam to, you know, put it in a lathe and spin it around about 1,000 RPMs and take a sharp tool and shred it down, I'm guessing it wasn't real pleasant for the stick. But certainly something beautiful come out of it. And likewise for you and I. Sometimes when the Lord is trying to bring us to a point of being usable in His hand, it may not always be pleasant in our eyes, but He's got a plan in mind. The question is, are we willing to submit to it? Are you willing to submit to God's plan for your life? Are you willing to be put in the Master's hand and molded into a usable vessel? This, like it is pretty much a piece of firewood, you know. This can sit on your mantle and put a nice pretty candle in it at Christmas time or whatever, you know. It's usable. It's something usable. And we need to picture ourselves, not the guy sitting next to us, ourselves, the guy we see in the mirror. What do I need to do, Lord, to make me usable? What do I need to shed? What hunk of bark am I hanging on to? Make me usable. But it has to be on a personal basis. You have to find that for you in your life. It's always easy for people to point out our weaknesses, our faults. You want to know my faults? My wife knows them all. Just ask her. She'll tell you. You know, and I say that in fun, but we do know. The closer we live to people, we do know their faults. You know, Adam lives next door to me. I could know some of his faults. He definitely knows some of mine. All he has to do is look over the fence. He sees a big pile of my faults stacked in the side yard. You know. But nevertheless, the Lord can use us if we're willing. We have to do it for ourselves. We have to do it for ourselves. Let's look in the book of Helaman in the second chapter. We're going to start there in verse 70. And he was speaking to his sons here and trying to give them some good, fatherly, godly advice, counsel. And he brings some things up, and he's asking them to remember some things that others had spoken. He says, "Now, my sons, behold," that's in verse 70 on page 556. It says, "Now, my sons, behold, I have somewhat more to desire of you, which desire is that ye may not do the things that may not do these things that ye may boast, but that ye do them, these things, to lay up unto yourselves treasures in heaven, yea, which is eternal, and which fade not away, yea, that ye may have that precious gift of eternal life, which we have reason to suppose have been given unto our fathers." Verse 71, "O remember, remember, my sons, the words which King Benjamin spoke unto his people, yea, remember that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, who shall come. Yea, remember that He cometh to redeem the world. And remember also the words which Amulek spoke unto the Zoramites in the city of Ammonihah. For he said unto Zoram, in the city of Ammonihah, and he said unto him that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people, but that he should come to redeem them, that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. And so as we think about personal righteousness, there's a direct correlation there between that and sin. When we think about redemption through Jesus Christ, there's a direct correlation there between repentance and salvation. We can't believe, we cannot lie to ourselves and think that we can live in our sins and have personal righteousness. They're in opposition to each other. We can't think that the Lord can mold us from an old ugly stick into a beautiful tool of some kind and keep our sins with us. It doesn't work that way. We cannot be a partaker of all the things of this world and think that the Lord can use us to call out to this world. It doesn't work that way. We have to be willing to submit to God's will. And by submitting to His will, we're submitting to His commandments, keeping His law. And when we do that, we have personal righteousness. We're able to be molded. We're able to be brought to a point of being used in the Master's hand. I've just totally destroyed any order in my sermon. I think I've said what I wanted to say. I said it was going to be a Reader's Digest version. That's about as Reader's Digest as it gets. Allow the Lord to change your life. But it's a decision you have to intentionally and consciously make every day. Every day. You can't just go with the flow. You just can't continue down the path that, well, whatever happens, happens. You have to intentionally decide the path of your life. And then you put the work, the blessings, and the commandments which God has given us. And what comes out on the other side is a beautiful, usable instrument in God's hand. Thank you. I'm not going to sit down, so don't get excited. I'm going to read the announcements.